Okay, I wanted to just do one more week of stuff which is not directly related to the Perek, but which is nevertheless part of the Perek, just to make sure that everybody's, gotten to the Perek. And I don't frankly feel that bad about showing you this sugya, because this is one of the most famous sugyas of all of the Zikud. Yeah, it's a very short daf makoros this time. I mean, it's one of those ones that's misdaif and it sort of goes further. I think we'll have enough to fill up.
Give me.
I think we'll have enough to fill up a half hour, which is the time I have. So.
Oh,
wow. Okay, so, right, the case is. The case at the beginning of Habakkuk is what? Somebody's already started it.
Shomer.
What? Shomer, what sort of Shomer?
Sofer in particular.
Sorry?
Sofer is
Cleaner.
So there's two cases right there, the Mishnah, Shomer Kuna, that's okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Fine. And the question becomes, what is the difference between a Shomer Kuna and a Soicher? So what is the most obvious difference between a Shomer Kuna and a Soicher? Why?
Because the Soicher pays for it.
Very good. The Soicher is renting it. The Shomer Kuna is not. Right? It's obvious. I think it's obvious. Right? So let's look at the Mishnah basically looks at Rabafkin Velurata Lishava. He didn't want to take a shvua, it got lost. And now he doesn't want to take a shvua that it was stolen or lost, right? Meaning, what's right? It's shvua shomrim, it's the shvua that shomrim take. Remember, a shvua shomrim is only taken by shomer chinam. Right? The pasuk brings down a shvua shomrim that you make a shvua that it was stolen or lost for a shomer chinam. Why would it be only for a shomer chinam? It's potter in that case, right? Only Shmur Shomer Chinam is potter on Gneva Avida. So only he can make a shvua to potter himself, because anybody else can make a shvua. They can make all the shvuas they want that it was stolen. It really, I promise you it was stolen. Okay, but you have to pay anyway, so what difference does it make? Right, so it says Shvua Shomer. It's a Shvua Shomer. Sheloi Pasha Ba Veshelei Shalach Beyad. Says Rashi, that there are two components to the shvua. Firstly, he wasn't Pasha'a. Right, he didn't totally neglect it. Secondly, Shaloi Shalach Ba Yod. Now note, Rashi in Bava Kaba, which I forgot to put in Daf Makoros, says, what does it mean that Shaloi Pasha Ba, that he didn't neglect it? How do you not neglect it?
You look after, you bury in the ground.
Depends on the case, but Sheshomar Alav Kederech HaShomrim. Right? So, Rashi says,
I'm going to continue to write charts, which I don't think are particularly helpful. Rashi. Right? Text up, we'll see what the other sheet is. Two things. Loi Pasha, right? Sheshamar, I love. Kederech. That's showing room. Right? And Beis. That's Aleph. And Beis. What was the second one? Oh, yeah. Lo yishalach bayad. Right? Those are the two things that you're really taking a shvua about. We talked about shlichus yegdal last week, so I'm not going to review that. Right? And look at the Meiri. Firstly, who was the Meiri? Since my favorite question. What was his name?
I know him as the
Mizrahia.
No.
No, is that somebody else?
No, he's already got Meir in light. He's already got the light thing. It's Rachel Levi was the Tavor.
I always get them mixed up.
Rav Menachem ben Meir.
He was from Provence.
He was a Provence. Yes. Hence the Meiri, right? Rav Shlomo Yitzchaki.
Is he considered
Chachmei
Provence?
One of them. Okay.
Yes.
Amar Hami, it's interesting here. He actually wrote a sefer. He's like, if anything, he's like the Chacham of Provence. He wrote a sefer back in the Meiri is a younger contemporary of the Rashba, and so back when things started to get bad for the Jews in Christian Spain, the Rashbas told me them started arriving in Provence, and they basically said, "You're doing all these things that are aser be karadil lechol hadayoi." So they started basically critiquing Provence Hamid Hagim and telling Provenceals to change all their Hagim. And Meiri wrote a sefer about 19 Minhagi Provence, defending them from the Talmidei HaRashba, called the Magen Avos. It's an interesting sefer. Okay.
I didn't go down with the Provençal natives that the Russian was coming in telling
them. I'm assuming they didn't like it. But I have a friend who says, Minhag is Osios Gehenem, right? So everybody knows the trash, right? If you keep Minhag, you're going to Gehenem because you're going to be doing things that are wrong, right? Because, like, there are lots of Minhag taught, so you have to be careful. Sometimes Minhag are good, sometimes Minhag are bad. Right? That's what that drash is used for. I don't like the drash, but fine. That's what people say. So no, Minhag Osios Gehenem, if you want people to give you Minhag Gehenem, then try to get them to change the Minhag. Yes?
Alex, isn't Bet included in Aleph?
No.
Because if it's
Kederach HaShomrim. No, one, you weren't Poshea. You didn't neglect it. Another one saying I didn't steal it. Two completely different things. I can steal it without neglecting it, I can neglect it without stealing it.
But it's just like you're stealing
it. Yeah.
No, but as soon as you steal it, as soon as you steal it, then you're not guarding it Kederach HaShomrim.
Oh, I don't think. The point is that you're not neglecting it. That's like the Iker, right? It just happens to be that the standard way of neglecting it, there's a sort of standard of care, which is how we judge whether you neglect it or not. Let's look at the Be'iri. Abba, Rabbi, Iri, Abba, Afkin, Etzach, Amir, right? Kfar Yadata, Bedidi, Abba, Shomer, Shal, Shomer, Chidam, Potter, Alaka, Al, Chutz, Bipshia. Right? Veshomer, Sachar, Shomer, Soich, Shomer, Sachar, or Socher. Nitzchai, Vala, Pshia, Keshomer, Chidam, Venitoisef, Aleyam, Chiyuk, Neva, Ve'aveda, Vashon, Nitzchai, Pshia, Ve'agreva, Ve'aveda, Kechaber, Nitoisef, Alav, Chiyuk, Oitzim, Chutz, Bipsa, Bachmas, Ve'lacha. So, there are three types of Shomer. Shomer Chinam is potter for anything except for Pshia. Shomer Sachar or a Seicher. Shomer Sachar, somebody's receiving money for a Shmirah Seicher, somebody's paying to do it and can use it as a result, right? Is, he is Chaya for Gneva Veda, he's potter on what's called Oitzim, the things that he really couldn't control. So if he was robbed by highway robbers who were going to kill him if he didn't give it to them, or if it was on a boat and the boat sunk, or various things, right? Things that are Oitzim Murim, the Rambam calls it. Then he's potter, and the shoal is chayav on everything except for Mesa Machapas Melacha. Unless it dies during the Melacha that it was borrowed for. And this you should remember, right? Nibza, she'af she'rechidem yesh leitzad chiyu ve'hu hafshia. That means, says the very interesting point, right? We used to think of Shomer Chinam as potter for everything. It's not like completely true. A Shomer Chinam can be chayav in the case of Shia. Right? Just as a conceptual point. V'she'af ha'shol yesh leitzad Torah, and ha'shol can also be potter, right? V'hu beis ha'bach ha'mazlach. That's beis ha'bach ha'mazlach. Tzarech she'teina she'kol Shomer ha'roi t'lif Torah t'as moi nishba. He says any time a Shomer wants to potter himself, he has to do a take a shvua. V'chol b'shvuas yesh leitzad Torah. And there are three things that he's saying in his Shura. Right? By the way, this is a shita. These are the both these shitas I hold by lots and lots and lots of Roshonim. It happens to be that I brought you Rashi to Be'iri for one very simple reason. They were on the Amud here. Right? If the sugya was in one of the dozen other places in Shura, if we kept the sugya in one of the dozen other places in Shura, then I would have brought you different Roshonim. These shitas are a big. This is a big muscle Roshonim. Okay. Aleph. So Harishon Sheshamara Kederech HaShomrim. Right, you gave it the proper standard of care. Based. And that's in Shulu Nafshia, right?
Which implicitly means Nafshia, that one, right?
I'm sorry?
Aleph includes Nafshia.
Yeah. Beis. And she'eina birshutzo. You no longer have it. Okay, this is useless. Not working for me. Right? And gimel. No, where am I? She'lei shalach bayad. In of itself, this is not what I'm talking about today.
Yochanan, no?
Is it not? I don't
understand
what you mean.
Later on.
Which statement are we, Yochanan?
It might not be Rabbi Yochanan.
Two things. Firstly, this is not our topic, but this is not interesting, right? This is part of the Shvuah, according to the Be'iri, but not according to Rashi. Meaning Rashi it could still be your possession, right? So I don't know if that's true. I don't want to go into that. What?
What does the base line say?
She'ina brishul say that you no longer have it. Right, you're taking it sure that you no longer are in possession of the object. Interesting comments, right? That there is a machlekes shon and what happens if you lost it and it came back to you, or if it came back to you after shul, all these things are complicated questions. Right? So this might be significant or might not, but this is not really talking about. But what I want to talk about now is this. Rashi says it's shaloi pasha, right? You were negligent. Right? And that means that you gave the proper standard of care. The Meiri says no. Right, you gave it the proper set of care, that means you weren't negligent. Now, the difference is l'chora a difference primarily in nuance. Imkid nuance is important in this particular case, right? Are you saying that a shomer of chinam takes on a certain obligation of shmira, right, and therefore to do less would be negligent? Or are you saying, no, it just happens to be that if you sort of totally neglect some other guy's stuff, then that's a bad thing anyway? Right?
Can you repeat that?
Are you saying, the Meiri seems to be saying that Hashem Rechinam actually took on an obligation of Shmira? He took on an obligation to look after the guy's stuff, and therefore if he didn't, he was negligent. Rashi is saying, no, he shouldn't be negligent, but it doesn't sound like he's got an obligation, a special obligation of Shmira.
Is it not in Shmira that you need to be negligent?
Ah, thank you. And therefore that brings us to our Fakira. Shomer Rechinam, right? Exactly. Is what? Rashi says that. Oh,
the blues. Yeah.
Oh, my apologies. Loi pasha, right? That he was not poshea. Uh-huh. He wasn't negligent. The Meiri says he looked after it the right way. They sound very, very similar, right? But they're not, right? This gets us to our Fakira. According to Rashi, at least here, there is a Rashi that contradicts this in a couple of places. But, at least here, Rashi sounds like he's saying that a shomer chinam is not a shomer at all. He just, you know, happens to be currently looking after that guy's stuff. But he's not a shomer, and he doesn't have shomer obligations. The only shvur that he has to take is, I didn't steal it, because, you know, it was already in his rishus, so now he has to... We have a special rule that we're a little bit afraid that he maybe stole it. And B, that he wasn't completely negligent, right? Meaning he didn't actually do damage.
As in...
He didn't do nezek.
Yes, nezek.
Yeah. Right? The point is that he didn't just allow nezek to happen. Remember, you're chayev for allowing nezek to happen to somebody's stuff, in the same way as you are for being deliberately mazik it.
Isn't poshe mazik not according to everyone?
No, it's not according to everyone.
The poshe is mazik.
Yes.
But according to Rashi, here it is.
Clearly. Right? And the Meiri says he is a shomer. No?
Yes.
Right? So that is our Fakira. He's a real shomer with real shomer obligations. Now, if I had to ask you, is there going to be a nafka mina to this machlekes? If you say you can't think of one, that's fine. But can anybody think of one? Okay, so the really, really famous Nafkamina, and we're only going to do one Nafkamina because I'm not going to have time for more, but the really famous Nafkamina is a Machlekes Rambam Ravid, which I've also put on the Daf Makaribus, and that's out there, Makar.
Where's the Meiri's
Lashon? The Meiri says... Okay, Rambam. Yira Eli. What do we know about the Rambam when he says the words Yira Eli?
It appears to me.
That was very well done.
Isn't that usually where it like, doesn't actually... It's not pulled down by an opinion in the Gemara or something?
Very good. Like, the Rambam presents his work... as we quoting Gemaras and Gaonim, or Chazal is saying Gaonim, right? When he says Yiro Eli, it means there's no explicit source what he's saying, at least in his view. Now, once in a while, you see the writer says, what are you talking about? That's an explicit answer. Or something. And then you have a fun argument in the... And then you'll have a fun argument in the Maharshi Rambam. No, why did the Rambam think that this explicit Mishnah was not saying exactly what he said here? But that's what the words... Those are the words that you really mean in the Rambam. She'im posha ha-shomer ba'avadim v'chayyotu behen chayyev ha-shalem she'inu potter ba'avadim v'karkoyes v'shtarois elam yidin g'nei v'aveda v'beisa v'chayyotu behen she'im ha-yah shomer chinam alam mitaltalim v'nin nevuav to v'yishal v'avadim v'karkoyes v'shtarois potter mishvua. The important bit is the last bit. We'll skip the rest of the bit before, right? Is this a halacha has a lot going on in it, right? A shomer chinam takes a shvua when mitaltalim get damaged, right, or are lost. That he wasn't pasheya. So, for example, if you're looking after somebody's laptop and you're a shomer chinam, you can be pater with a shvua from paying, right? But if you're looking after his, let's go with shtaros, right? His shtaros, if he has a number of pieces of paper which are signed and with edim and whatever, let's say Plonia, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi all owe him money, and you lost them, and you were shomer chinam, then you don't even have to take a shvua. Right? Same thing, you were looking after his slave, his Eved Knani, and the Eved escaped, no worries, no shvua. You were looking after his land, and I don't know, it got flooded or something, you don't have to take a shvua, you weren't negligent. Just these things happen. Right? That's the Rambam. Let's go down to the Ravid. Right, so it says, Let's actually continue a little bit more on the Rambam, my apologies, right? It says, Aval in Pasha ba chayel ha-shalem shekol pashem. So it says, Aval, however, in Pasha ba chayel ha-shalem, if he was Pashaya, he does have to pay. Note, he doesn't say can't pater himself with a shvua. But he doesn't say that. He doesn't say there's no option of shvua. He just says he has to pay.
In Pasha ba.
Yeah. Now that makes a certain amount of sense because the shvua is that he wasn't Pashaya. Right? That's the content of the shvua. But nevertheless, right, the nuance I think is important. We'll get to it in a second. Right? If he was Pashaya, he's chayav l'shalom. No part, there's no option of taking a shvua. It doesn't mention a shvua. Shekol ha-Pashaya maziku. Right.
Rambam is in Rashi's side. Pashaya, Rambam, and how do we know? Because he has this idea of Pashaya Kemazik, meaning the only possible. By the way, if you're interested, there's a very long Evan Ha'ezel here, which is very nice and very famous. I'm not going to get into it. I'm going to give you his basic word, but like it's long. You should look inside. Pashaya Kamazik basically means there's not it's not a real shomer, but if it's a real shomer, you don't need this din of shomer Pashaya Kamazik. Right? It's enough to say he was Pashaya, so he was failed in his shmira. The chidush of Pashaya Kamazik means that you're not approaching a shomer chinam as a shomer. You're approaching him as it says a din in Ezekiel, it really belongs in Bava Kama. Right? Or in Niskei Mamud. Yeah? Yeah, let's look at the Ravid. Amar Avram. Ve'im emes uzeh shomer chinam, lama eino nishbal tainase shele pasha sharei im pasha meshalim. Ve'im nashal choy mara le moide miksa shem yoyde le shalem ve'af al pichein. Eino nishbal harei amra tura klal uprat. Ve'shem rechinam uklal uprat ve'shem resachar. Ma shem resachar miyeh te'elu mi'ikra tashlom ulemin ha-shvua levada. So that's important. Ein pashia mazik, right? Sheim hayakein pshia bevailin lama pater el she'ein pashia domel lamazik ad kanashayne. Okay, so the Ravid has two claims on the Rambam. Firstly, the Ravid. Firstly, Ein Pashaya.
Is it going to ring again when you say the second one?
I'm sorry?
Never mind. Or is it the bell going to ring every time you say a number?
Maybe.
One.
I timed it perfectly. Right? Okay. Ein Pashaya Mazik. That's the first thing the Ravid says, right? And straight away that puts him in the Miri's camp. Right? If a Pashaya is not a Mazik, then it's Din and Shomer. And by the way, what's his Raya that Pashaya is not Mazik?
Because of Bavalim.
What's the Din of Shmir Bavalim?
Because Bashir Bavalim, if you're Bashir Bavalim, it's Potter. And if you're Mazik, then how can that?
Very good. So if it's a case of Shmir Bavalim, you're Potter from any Nezek. Which makes no sense if it's a Din of Nezek. For any Pshiyak TV, which makes no sense if it's Din of Nezek, because you're not part of a pastor for Nezek Bevailim, and nobody thinks you are, right? The fact that the person is around, is your employer, whatever Shmir Bevailim means, I'm not going into right now, right? Let's go with it, your employer, the simple case in the Gemara, right? Makes absolutely no difference in Dine Nezek, and it only makes a difference in Shmir, in Dine Shmira.
So how does the Rambam understand it?
Sorry?
What does the Rambam
the Rambam, they must be saying that you're less culpable. In other words, the Pshia is less chomer in such a case. Right? That's not, it's not a din in Shmira. Right? It's saying that your Pshia is less chomer if you work for the guy. Right? That's his first raya. That's his first claim, sorry. His second claim. Right? His first claim is no. She'eino meshalem nishba. The Ravid says, anybody, absolutely anybody in Dini Shomrim who doesn't have to pay is going to have to take a shvua. And the Rambam disagrees with that, as we saw explicitly in Kol Ha Kol She'ino Kol She'ino Shalim Nishba. Right? So the Rambam says, the Rambam and the Ravid have a second machlokes. Do you have to take a shvua? Right, when do you have to take a shvua? The Rambam says you only take a shvua in specific cases. And in Achinami, if you don't take a shvua in those cases, you're chayav l'shalim. But there are cases where you're part of l'shalim even without a shvua. And the Ravid says, no, there's no such thing. Any case, absolutely any case, where you don't have to pay, to part of yourself paying, you will nevertheless have to take a shvua. Okay, so what's that machlekes? This machlekes over here, the second one, what's that about? Right, so lichora, and the machlekes is how, what they think Shvuos HaShomrim actually, this is Shvuos HaShomrim, right? Everybody's clear on Shvuos HaShomrim?
Yeah.
There are a number of different Shvuos, the Torah discusses. One of them is a shvuah shomrim. It's a shvuah that shomer takes it. He wasn't because he didn't, wasn't shalach by yad, etc. Right?
Yes.
And that's the shvuah that's being discussed. So, what is the role of shvuah shomrim? According to the Ravid, it's obvious. The reason why you have to take a shvuah every single time you don't have to pay is because the shvuah is what lets you not pay. Right? If you didn't have to take a shvuah, you'd have to pay. Therefore, the shvuah is what allows you to not pay. The Rambam, by saying there are cases that you don't pay even though you don't take a shvua, is clearly saying the opposite. The shvua is not the thing that allows you not to pay. You don't have to pay because you're not a shomer in the first place. Mehegateti, what's the mechayev to pay? There wasn't any nezek here and you're not a shomer, yeah?
Then what's the point of the shvua according to the Rambam?
Ah, very good. So then why take a shvua? Why bother? Why did the Torah tell you to take a shvua, yeah? You know, this, there was damage, but you're not chayav for it. Right? It's not in Dini Nezikin. It's not a problem. What? You want Pshia in this case? Right? These cases are not relevant to what of Pshia, or maybe it's a darashakar, or like there are different Pshurim here that might that get you out of Dini Nezikin.
But we don't understand the case of.
So in regular Metalton, you would have to take a shua. Against the Avodim, Shtaris, and Kakaris, you don't have to for various reasons. Well, you'll see, it's over the course of Gemara, right? They'll be discussed. Not that you can't do Nezek, but Nezikin is more complicated. You'll see, we'll discuss it. If you want, we'll discuss it once everybody's seen the Gemara. Next week, basically, we'll start on actually going through Gemara's in the third Perek. As in, some people have already started. I'll start talking about the Gemara's in the third Perek. Next week, if you want, we can discuss that sort of stuff. I'm happy to spend a little bit of time on the Gemara's around the first mission and how they deal with these issues. Not for us right now. Okay. Right? The Rambam is saying, though, that there are definitely cases of what's the point of shvua? Why would you take a shvua if it's not to pater you from paying? Okay, it's saying it's gidur shel kasef is another way of saying I'm not really sure.
Just to like the idea of appeasing the other Baldian.
Ah, very good. So there is a very famous Hakira in Shuas in general. Right? This is a very, very famous Hakira. This is really the third famous Hakira for the day. Shuas. What's the point? Right? There are some people say that Shuas are to, right, Leratzes es Baldinai. Right? The point of a Shua is to make the other guy happy. Right, he thinks you stole from him. He thinks you damaged his property. You say, no, I didn't. He walks away happy. Right, bring shalom bein Yisrael. That's the point of a shua. Right, and there are some people who say, no, a shua is evidentiary. Evidentiary, right? It's a raya. I'm sorry. Right, a shua is about proving something. Meaning, there are lots of ways the halacha allows us to demonstrate things. There's miko and there's chazaka and there's rove and there's lots of ways that halacha allows us to, well, chazaka might not be, whatever, not going into the panic, right? Different ways halacha allows us to demonstrate what the situation is. One of them, maybe, is called shvua, in some circumstances, right? We take a shvua to prove something, right? Because the idea is people are less likely to lie once they're, you know, once they're making a shvua of a shame, and they're going to be more careful in such a case. Yeah? Now, the Ravid is clearly saying Shvua is evidentiary. You need to actually pattern yourself from paying. How do you pattern yourself from paying? By proving that you shouldn't have to. How do you prove that you didn't have to? So 99% of the time, you can't bring two Eidim. But the world doesn't work that way. Things aren't so neat. So in this case, how did the Torah tell you? How do you prove that you shouldn't have to pay? You take a Shvua. That's enough. In this case, for various reasons, that's enough evidentiary basis to say you won't have to pay. Right? That'll satisfy us. And the Rambam says, no, it's not about that at all. Dichlal, you don't have to pay. Apitom, you don't have to pay. The reason I'm making a shvua is completely different. It's to make the other guy satisfied you don't have to pay. The Bezdin's already satisfied you don't have to pay. But he also has to be okay with the fact that you don't have to pay. And that's the point of the shvua. Yeah?
So if... you refuse,
which is why you're patra in seven cases, yeah?
What if you refuse to take a shvua according to the Rambam?
You still be chay.
How does that work if it's not like if you're already patra from...
You're patra
for the shvua.
You're patra from having to pay mitzad din imamanois. You didn't do anything wrong, you don't have to pay. But if you don't convince him of that, you'll still have to pay.
Okay.
And you will make you be a nice person and actually convince him of that fact. Okay? Yeah. Fine, I'm out of time, and that was pretty much what I wanted to cover, so...